This is Jay Sekulow in Washington, D.C., a major protest on the issue of religious freedom for Christians.
And ask you, Father, to just let them know in their hearts that there is a praying church in America. So I remember sitting with a young Afghan convert in his house in Afghanistan just a couple of years ago. We pray for pastors who are afraid. Sitting with him on the floor, drinking tea, and he looked at me in my eyes and he said, "Don't tell anybody that I'm a Christian." For people who are afraid to go to church, we ask you to give them courage to continue in their faith. Nobody's ever said that to me before in my life, but he knew if that was let known in the environment where he lives, he would have his throat cut. We ask for prayer, especially on the level of advocacy, to know how to influence the authorities of this world. In the environment where he lives, he would have his throat cut. And that's reality for converts in that part of the world. We pray that in Jesus' name.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Coming to you from Washington, D.C., an issue we've been talking about a lot over the last several weeks on radio and, of course, on our television audience as well, has been this issue of religious persecution. And the American Center for Law and Justice and our European Center for Law and Justice, in conjunction with our office in Moscow, are engaged in a worldwide campaign standing against what is increasingly becoming the imposition of hostile acts on people of faith, especially in a situation where you have converts to Christianity, which is now almost being deemed by some countries as an illegal act, an immoral act by some of these countries, relating so far that you can even have penalties for the proclamation of the gospel. And we've been talking about the fact that at the United Nations there are penalties there. Jordan, you were at a demonstration in Washington, D.C. Our cameras were there. We're probably showing some of that footage as we speak right now. And when we looked at the situation, you were talking with Coptic Christians, and I saw that you talked to a whole age group. Tell us a little bit about what was going on at this, first of all, at the demonstration here in Washington. It was quite a moving event.
There were about 200 people there in front of the White House. The Coptic Christians represent 10 to 15% of Egypt's population of 80 million people. Egypt is the largest country in the Middle East, so they make up somewhere between 10 to 15 million, maybe even more people. Egypt won't let them do a real census that includes, and Egypt doesn't want to acknowledge that they have that many Christians living in within its borders. There's many Coptic Christians also across the world. They went through their own, what they call diaspora, where they also
went
all over the world. But this community came to Washington, D.C. To tell President Bush first, thank you, because the president had acknowledged the plight of many Coptic Christians in Egypt and the persecution, but also to ask one last time while this administration is wrapping up for movement on a couple pieces of legislation in Capitol Hill because of the oppression going on. We talked to those from the eldest to the youngest there about the persecution going on in their families. And it got to the point where, and this is something that the Coptic Christians have all brought up a lot, is that the churches cannot even build any structures within. You cannot put a bathroom inside your church and then make it so where it's legal. The church building is legal without asking your regional governor to do that.
And those regional governors are saying no.
They decline that. Mosques don't have to ask for anything. They can build whatever they want.
Rob Schenck is the president of Faith in Action here in Washington, D.C., but he's also with the National Clergy Council. You've traveled the world. You've traveled the globe. How significant of a plight are Christians finding in a lot of the Muslim countries, but also in where you have situations where they've converted from Islam to Christianity?
You can't understate it, Jay. It's a matter of life and death. And there's an important side point to make to what Jordan was just telling us about Copts in Egypt. I've traveled extensively through Egypt, worked in Cairo on and off for over 10 years, worked with Christian groups of every tradition. And Copts, of course, Coptic Christians have their own history and their own identity, but it's also used as a generic term for all Christian people. They all bear this label and all the same persecution.
We're going to get into this whole issue. We've got footage you'll be seeing throughout this about the protests that took place there. We're taking direct action on this, by the way. There is pending at the United Nations a bill called the Defamation of Religion. We're opposing it and opposing it aggressively because it would internationalize and criminalize the proclamation of the gospel. It's in the Human Rights Council right now. We're fighting it aggressively. But here's what I need you to do right now. We've had about 85,000 people join us in this petition going to the United Nations. We need 100,000. Here's the number. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 to stand up for freedom and stand up for those that can't speak for themselves. Again, 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
Around the world, Christians are under attack. In Iran, a couple is tortured for reading the Bible. Two men tried and convicted for possessing Christian books in Algeria. Examples of a growing global crisis. Christians targeted because of their faith. Now, one of the largest organizations inside the United Nations is making a bad situation worse. The Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death. Now more than ever, Christians expressing their faith are now guilty of hate speech. The American Center for Law and Justice, along with its European affiliate, is sending a powerful message to this UN group. Its anti-Christian bigotry won't be tolerated. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to this petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at ACLJ.org. Now there's a great new way to stay in touch with the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Wireless. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
With ACLJ Wireless, you'll get special updates from me and be able to get critical information fast, right from your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
The ACLJ Wireless service, 10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. Choose from the most popular phones. Flexible and affordable calling plans starting at $29.99 with every 6 months of service free. And keep your existing cell number.
By using ACLJ Wireless, you're helping the ACLJ stand up for your rights.
ACLJ Wireless Service from ACLJ Member Services. Call now. 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at acljwireless.com.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Welcome back to the broadcast and welcome to Washington, D.C. The ACLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice, the Slavic Center for Law and Justice in Moscow, all engaged in a global effort to protect Christians that are feeling tremendous persecution right now and to thwart a move at the United Nations, a move that is in essence going to require the nationalization through international law and through a human rights resolution and ultimately the General Assembly, what's called, and this is what they're calling the legislation, a prohibition on the defamation of religion. Some of you are going to say, well, that sounds okay. But in reality, it's to give special international protection to Islam and not allow pastors, not allow missionaries, not allow Christian converts to live their faith, to practice their faith, or share their faith. And this is at the United Nations as we speak. What I want to do is encourage you right now to go to your phone, sign this petition. It's very, very important that you speak out on this. The phone number is 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Let me also say this, folks, that the impact of this is becoming real because of the protests that are starting to take place right here in Washington, D.C. As we've been discussing the issue, there was a major protest that Jordan was at yesterday. He mentioned this at the beginning of the program, and it was involving what we call COPS. It's Coptic Christians. It's one of the oldest Christian denominations in the Middle East. And Jordan, the response from the people, the crowd, was much larger than anticipated. This is becoming a huge issue.
It is, because they're talking back to their families in Egypt and hear about the killings. One of the biggest problems right now is the kidnapping of teenage girls, they're married off to Muslim men, automatically converted to Islam, and what happens is they get pregnant by these men. The government does nothing about the initial kidnapping. We talked about a story out of Pakistan, same kind of thing, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old kidnapped and married off at that age. They get pregnant, they have children, and then they become Muslims because that's their life. And you know, they've got kids and their families they can't speak to their families anymore. That is one of the strategies that these regional governors are using. And that's the thing to really focus in on here is the Egyptian government has now given much of the power to regional governments to decide how they want to handle Coptic Christians.
So the idea is when you're dealing with this, and Rob, you've traveled to Egypt, when you're dealing with this on a government basis, you'll read the International Religious Freedom Reports, and they'll give a report and say, well, there are some levels of religious freedom nationally in Egypt, for instance. But then when you read the regional reports from the groups, that's where the problems are coming in.
That's right, because, of course, again, the power rests regionally. And often the rulers there are sheikhs, and they are the religious leaders. They're the Islamic leaders. And I can't find the words to describe the fear in the eyes, the faces of these Christians who live under this terror every day. I don't think we can imagine it in this country. When I was in Sudan, for example, in Khartoum, Christian leaders there told me, and we were given a very limited amount of time to talk privately with them.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying to be there. But they looked at me and they said, please, we beg of you, tell the American people not to forget us. When they do, we suffer beyond imagination.
Folks, this is a significant global problem, and we've got to take global action. And the one thing that we've done, and we've been utilizing our friends and our allies, people like Rob, who we have tremendous respect for and have tremendous credibility on governmental and diplomatic circles. We've talked about the fact that there's legal avenues on this, there's diplomatic avenues, there's, of course, the spiritual realm. Never stop praying. As we said at the beginning of the broadcast, you heard that special we put together for the opening here. Prayer is very, very important. But we're taking direct action, and I want to encourage everybody that's listening to us right now, as we get ready to take your calls, you go to your phones and you sign this petition to stand up what's going on at the UN, to stop this attempt to criminalize the proclamation of the gospel. Here's the number. Again, it's 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Folks, we've been working on this for weeks now. We think we'll see a victory. In a couple of months, we're going to be before the UN. We really need to hear from him. That ACLJ.org, updated information as well. Jordan, who do we have?
Let's go back to the phone. Scott's calling from Texas on line 5. Scott, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Scott.
It sounds to me like this organization that you're talking about is predominantly, I mean, it speaks for a great number of Islamic countries. And
you're talking about the Organization of Islamic Conference.
Is this a radical Islamic issue, or is this just an Islamic issue? I mean, you know, let's call a spade a spade here. What's the radical tag? It sounds like this is, you know, an organization which speaks for Islamic nations everywhere.
Well, look, I mean, you're talking about the Organization of the Islamic Conference. I mean, they are very broad in their scope, and they represent what are considered moderate regimes, although this effort at the United Nations is anything but moderate. The phrase radical Islamicist is coming from a Supreme Court opinion. I keep reiterating this on other programs. Justice Scalia, just a few weeks back in one of the Supreme Court cases, said that America is at war with radical Islamicists. That's the statement he used. We're not classifying it any differently. We're just saying this is what the Supreme Court has said. Now, the reality is, and I think we have to be real here, this Organization of the Islamic Conference is much broader than that, Jordan. It's not just the Saudi Arabia. It's not just Libya's. It's much broader than that. It includes the, quote, moderate regimes.
That's right. It includes much more than just the Middle East. 57 states. Of course, the Middle East. People understand that. Africa. But also Central Asia, the Caucasus, the Balkans, Southeast Asia, South Asia, and South America. All of those continents, four continents in itself, all of those different countries, all of those different kind of cultures, all with one goal, which is to come together as Islamic states. These are theocracies. These are countries that want to be ruled by their religion. They want their religion to be their law.
Yeah, Rob, go ahead.
Jay, it's an important point here that with the moderate countries, and many of them do give relatively expansive rights within their framework. However, the problem is they are just as threatened by the radical Islamists as anyone else is. In fact, many of these heads of state for moderate countries receive death threats daily from the likes of the bin Laden crowd and so on. And they are just fearful, and so they end up capitulating to the intimidation.
You actually met with, we were talking about the Organization of the Islamic Conference, which is all of these governments together, which is the second largest international body in the world, folks. That's what you're dealing with at the United Nations. You actually met with, Rob, the ambassador from the Organization of the Islamic Conference. What was his attitude? And you say, I mean, you shared this the other day, but go ahead and say it again.
Well, I thought he looked like a frightened man. And, you know, I've been in Christian ministry for 25 years, done a lot of counseling, been with a lot of people who are troubled in their minds and souls. And this man definitely looked as if he were terribly intimidated. They have forces that are murderous on a scale we can't imagine, that they are up against themselves trying to control. Well, you don't control those kinds of people, and you could see that fear and intimidation in his very demeanor.
Here's what we want to do, folks. Go to your phones right now. We got to stand up against the Organization of the Islamic Conference. We've got to stand up for international religious freedom. Stand up for Christians that can't speak for themselves. The phone number, it's on your screen, 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. 2255. You're adding your name to a petition going to the United Nations Human Rights Council. We're going to beat this thing back. I'm going to be there in a couple of months, but we need your help now. Again, 1-877-989-2255. Jordan, who's next?
Joey's calling from West Virginia on line 2. Joey, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Joey.
People like to talk about Muslim extremists and things like that, and I don't think every extreme is the same. I think that, generally speaking, the Muslim faith is a more violent one, and the penalty for being an apostate is death. And, you know, you're not going to do that. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know what you mean, because the fact of the matter is the penalty for apostasy is death. That's part of their own system. And what I'm concerned about and increasingly concerned about is the fact that what's happening as they apply Sharia law to human rights. We talked about that on yesterday's radio broadcast. They are changing the definitions, Jordan, of human rights law, and the penalty is death. This is literally death sentences in these cases.
Yeah, in Iran, where it's already an option for apostasy or converting from Islam to Christianity to implement the death penalty, the legislature there is now looking at a law to make that mandatory, a mandatory sentencing guideline. So anyone that's found guilty
of apostasy,
a judge doesn't have a decision there. They must get the death penalty.
Yeah, and that's being debated right now.
Right now in Iran.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, again, you know, you look at some of these moderate countries, they're losing the battle against the extremists. And it's important to understand that while some people will read and rightfully applaud those who are trying to bring in moderate expressions of Islam in their countries, give their people some form of religious liberty. What's happening is they are losing the battle and they are beginning to cave in. And it's a juggernaut that's very tough to resist, because the penalty for anyone who goes up against them is death.
You understand the implications of what's going on here, folks. And the fact is, we had a meeting at our European Center for Law and Justice offices where we had a lot of our staff together. And we discussed this. And frankly, these are life and death cases. That's what we're really talking about here. And now you've got a situation with the Organization of the Islamic Conference where they've gotten together and they're putting forward in the United Nations a bill to redefine human rights. And the problem is, when you have that kind of situation, the danger is it's going to stifle the proclamation of the gospel. And that is really what we're concerned with. And that's really what we're dealing with at the United Nations right now. So here's what I'd like you to do as we get ready to take a break. We'll take more of your calls when we come back. You go to your phones and you add your name to this petition going to the UN. We're sending a loud and clear message that we're going to stand for religious freedom and we're not going to tolerate a forced conversion situation or a death penalty if you become a Christian. The number is 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to the website at aclj.org. Back with your calls in just a moment. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And now there's a new way you can stand with the ACLJ.
ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow with news about an important new way to stay in touch with the ACLJ, the ACLJ wireless service.
With an ACLJ wireless phone, you'll get special updates from me straight to your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. There's flexible and affordable calling plans. ACLJ Wireless, the latest member benefit that saves you money as you support the ACLJ. Other services include digital phone service, DSL for faster internet, and DirecTV. Call ACLJ Member Services, 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at aclj.org/benefits.
Oh, this? Well, actually, I'm earning my global business degree online. Here, have a look. All the courses are taught online, so I can attend class from anywhere. Same with the tests. You can take all those online, too. Or, if I wanted, I could stop by the campus in Virginia Beach and meet with my professor in person or go to class there. But the thing is, my job has been really busy lately, so I do everything from my laptop. Otherwise, it's just like going to class. It's hard work. But when I'm done, I'll have a degree from one of the top 10 online universities in the country.
With both 2- and 4-year degrees available and more than $1.9 million in scholarships and grants awarded to undergraduate students this year alone, a private college education may be closer than you think. Visit ApplyToRegent.com or call 1-888-REGENT-U to find out more about our degree programs, scholarships, and grants.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Washington, D.C. You're at the headquarters of the American Center for Law and Justice, right across the street from the Supreme Court of the United States. We're talking about issues of international concern. And again, something that we're concerned about is the growing aspect of Islam, and especially radical Islam. And I know people are saying, what do you mean radical? I'm using the words that Justice Scalia utilized in a Supreme Court opinion. He said, America is at war with radical Islamicists. And the reason I'm using those words, we're lawyers. I deal with the facts and the law, and that's how he described the situation. We've had a protest here yesterday on behalf of the Egyptian Coptic Christians. Jordan's covered that extensively. The fact of the matter is, this growing awareness of Christian persecution is a positive development that Americans are responding so resoundingly to this.
Well, positive in every way, including and especially for the preservation of the lives of our fellow Christians around the world. And this has been told to me over and over again. And I've traveled to numerous Islamic countries and other countries where Christians experience severe persecution. And they will always tell me, please do not forget us. Please talk about us. Please keep us in front of people's minds. That protects them. And if Christians think, well, there's nothing I can do about that, that's absolutely not true. Just talking about it as we are, signing petitions, representing them before international bodies literally saves their lives.
You heard what he said, and I'm glad Rob said that, and that literally saves their lives. We're trying to take action here to prevent death. And death because of religious belief and faith. And this move at the United Nations is very dangerous, very troubling. It's the organization of the Islamic Conference. They're a very large organization. But the fact of the matter is we got to fight and fight aggressively against them. Again, I want to encourage you to call the number 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 to add your name to this petition going to the UN to take a stand. And the fact of the matter is, Rob, as you just said, this is literally life and death, and we all know that. And what we've got to realize is we've got to speak out for people that cannot speak for themselves. Jordan, let's get some more calls.
Cindy's calling from North Carolina on line 2. Cindy, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Cindy.
I had talked to some missionaries recently who told me that one of the reasons that they want to do this defamation of religion law in the United Nations was because there's a lot of revival going on where people are leaving Islam to come to Christianity, and this is threatening, and they want UN sanction to go in and literally take the lives of thousands of people.
There is no doubt that there is a huge move right now, that there are more converts, people coming to faith in Jesus from Islam, than ever before in world history. And there is a reaction to that. And it's not surprising in one sense, although these are not people and these are not governments that understand religious pluralism and religious freedom. But there is the good news aspect of this. We're representing a couple right now, by the way, that are in the United Kingdom that were Muslim. They both came to faith in Jesus. They're in their mid-20s. They're now facing deportation to Syria. So we're trying to intervene on that matter. Obviously, not trying to. We have intervened on that matter. We've been reporting it on radio for a couple of weeks now. We've got some major hearings coming up in the next few weeks, so we'll keep everybody posted. But the fact of the matter is there are people in large numbers coming to Christ from the Muslim background.
Well, indeed they are, and their lives are being rescued. Just this morning, Jay, we were all up on the Hill. You're going to participate in a panel on international religious liberty issues later on today. And we met such a young man, Ayub Masa from Pakistan, who was literally on death row. He was a short ways away from being executed. He was rescued because of the kind of actions that people are taking right now by calling in on this petition.
Yeah, let me tell you this, folks, and Jordan will get into this in detail. We had the protests for the Egyptian Coptics just yesterday. We were on Capitol Hill today. I mean, literally moments ago, we were on Capitol Hill for a major presentation on international religious freedom. Congressman Trent Franks, a number of other Democrats and Republicans there, a lot of young staffers. The fact of the matter is this issue of international persecution is getting some really significant support, Jordan, especially from your generation, which is interesting. Your generation seems to be the generation leading the charge on this.
Well, the mainstream media hasn't picked it up as much. The issue is not popular. Some of this is because some of these countries are our allies, or at least are,
sure.
Trying to work with. Egypt is another, is actually a really good example of a country which has worked pretty well alongside the United States, but is still killing people because they're Christians. And if they're not killing them, they're letting people be killed. And no one has really asked, and I think the American government's in a tough spot itself, the Egyptians straight up, why are you letting these people be killed? Many of these people at the rally said yesterday, it's not that they have lost control. It's not a situation where it's riots breaking out. It's that they don't want to have any kind of control. And that
So the government itself doesn't want to exercise the control.
They don't want to. And what one of the speakers said was that basically the government has fallen to radical Islamicists who have worked their way up through the system. And when you get out to these regional places where there's 80 million people scattered around a huge country, they don't care about it. They don't really care. And maybe it's not the American government that can step in here, but it's organizations like the ACLJ and the ECLJ that have got to make their voice heard. We don't have those diplomatic ties for military purposes that we need to preserve. We can go out in there and say to Egypt, why are you letting people be killed, raped, kidnapped in your country when you've got a large military and when you get millions of dollars every year from different international organizations?
Including international organizations based in the United States.
Right.
We're going to the UN. We want you to go with us. We need 100,000 of you. Right now, 85,000 have signed our petition. Jordan's going to give you the information. Sign that petition right now.
877-989-2255. That's our toll-free number. Get your name on this petition. Put your name. Give it to the United Nations. We want to let the UN know that the American people support our stance on this, which is against the organization of the Islamic Conference, to say, you know, we're not going to let the Islamic countries controlled by Islamic mullahs and imams decide what human rights are based on Sharia law. We're going to stand up for the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that says there's religious freedom. Sign this petition, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Let's go back to the phones. Ben's calling from Texas on line 5. Ben, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Ben.
Recently in the United Kingdom, a judge said that Sharia law might be allowed or applicable within their law system. And with the size of this group, how do you all foresee the Ninth Circuit or any of the more out there court systems trying to impose anything along those lines?
Well, the Sharia law issue is huge, and it was not just a judge. It was the chief judge, the Lord Chief Justice of the highest court in England. And also that was echoed, by the way, by the Archbishop of Canterbury for the Church of England. And the problem, of course, is on the Sharia law issue, and this is significant to understand, that they also want, they're talking about the Islamic Conference, the Organization of the Islamic Conference, they want human rights only based on Sharia. And that, of course, turns human rights upside down because, you mentioned this yesterday, the Quran has no aspect of, as we talk about grace and freedom within the Old Testament, New Testament, and law, there is none of that within the context, no human rights in the context of the Quran or Sharia.
No, Jay. In fact, we heard the Saudis making statements today about religious toleration, about religious tolerance and so forth. Well, in the Islamic worldview, you tolerate other religions as long as you wish to, and then at will, you remove that tolerance, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some people think, well, isn't there a way to appeal that? No, there is absolutely no way. It's done entirely on a whim. As long as you're a well-behaved Christian and you do what we tell you, that's fine, but we could remove it tomorrow with terrible consequences.
We've talked a lot about the Organization of the Islamic Conference. Here's another example of where they stand on human rights law. In 1990, they passed the Cairo Declaration of Human Rights. What that said is that the only basis of human rights, this came from 45 of the 57 member states of the OIC, the only fundamental basis of human rights is Sharia law. And that was their response to the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights, even though many of those countries
signed it.
Only about 10 have not. So out of 57, 47 have signed it, but they've still come out with a document together again saying there should only be Sharia law basis for human rights. And we know under that, if you convert from Islam to Christianity, the human rights law would still say that you should be able to be murdered.
I'll tell you something, folks, as we close the broadcast out today, I want everybody that's listening to me to go to your phones right now. Here is the number. You need to call this number. Sign your name to this petition. We're going to get close to 100,000 by next week. But we need your help on this. 1-877-989-2255. Now, this is a petition going to the United Nations Human Rights Council to speak out for those who can't speak for themselves and to speak out against the Organization of the Islamic Conference trying to radicalize human rights law and to eliminate human rights, including the proclamation of the gospel. Again, it's 1-877-989-2255. 1-877-285-2255. You can go to aclj.org or call us right now at 1-877-989-2255.